I know what I know. Let the now and know what you know. I know you know
we
it.
We know what we know. But none of us knows a thing about youth hockey.
Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, Episode 6. We're well chugging through to the very end of August. And as an idea of August, what does the end of August mean to you, Lance?
Start of school.
Start of school. David, you got any end of August? Is this the...
Well, now end of August is me looking at people and just shaking my head and feeling sorry for people whose kids have been in school already for a couple weeks and just going, whatever happened to the idea in the United States that you go to school as a kid for 9 months of the year and for 3 months they go, hey, you're a kid. Live your life. You spent 9 months toiling away. Now you get 3 months of summer. No, we don't have that anymore. It's 2 months.
Wow.
I don't know how things went so
wrong. Coach is getting angry.
Oh, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Now, just so I know, just so we can help the listeners out, you're not one of those conspiracy guys that thinks that the government's also putting like something in your Cheerios as well. Are you?
Coach? It could be related to fluoridation.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of things that are connected to this.
Okay, he's gonna.
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole right now.
Don't ask him about vaccines. Don't ask him about Roswell. Coach does not want to go there. Anyway, talking about conspiracy theories.
By the way, we got some incredible news.
Yes.
Just a second ago in the chat.
Yes. Yes.
In case people were wondering.
Yeah. No. People around the world are wondering. Coach, go ahead and give them the information.
Yeah, we were recording a previous episode.
We were.
And we weren't sure that episode was actually recorded.
No, we weren't.
I have news. I have great news.
Yeah.
Lance did find the recording, so people will probably be hearing our first episode.
You've not listened to that episode. I don't know if it's great news. I honestly think that just might fall under news.
Well, anyway.
But Lance,
I put a smile on my face. So.
It did. It does.
Yes, that was exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad Lance has got that going. Anyway, the conspiracy theory out there, and we have an email, ladies and gentlemen, from the email box, and it's coming. We're coming under fire, not under fire. We're trying to find out, which one of the tournaments out there are like real and have some standing, and which ones are kind of like not very legitimate and you don't have very much competition when you go there. This comes from Troy, and he was asking a little bit about the CCM World Invite and the Grizz Cup, and I don't know, I'm adding on to a couple things like the Silver Sticks,
right?
And finally, just for Lance's sake, the national championship in which his kids played 18 times over 14 years. I still don't understand how.
Right. Well, you know what? I can rule number one.
Yeah.
If you look around, you've exited your vehicle and go and enter the rink that the tournament is occurring in.
Yeah.
And you notice that rink is in Riverside. You're not at a good tournament.
Oh,
made a mistake.
Rock bottom.
Wow. You made a mistake. That's all I'm saying. So that's a simple one I can throw out there.
Coach, you haven't just made one mistake. If you're ended up in Riverside, you've made a series of mistakes that have led you.
Yeah.
And listen, when you're there and you're looking and you're wondering why in the tournament there's three teams, again, it might be because you're in Riverside. So,
can I just mention that the opinions stated on this podcast are not necessarily those of the participants?
Oh, come on.
In case the Riversiders come looking for
you. You care about the rain. Come on,
many people from Riverside anyway.
They are the salt of the earth.
I do have a serious point, though. I will talk about one thing from Boston, which I cannot believe the Bostonians allow this. But did you know that, and Lance knows this, we went to a tournament and there's two periods of hockey during the summer, two periods, right? That's all you get. And then you go to the semifinals and it's down to one period of hockey. It's like,
yes, one, it's 15, 30, it's 15 minutes.
Yeah. Or... I mean, what in the hell are you doing? That's not hockey, Boston. I don't know what you're doing or where you get off, Boston, but if you're going to have like some, and I don't remember, the Chowder Cup or something like that.
Yeah, let's bring this up. The Chowder Cup, one of the most prestigious supposedly tournaments. This is exactly what they do.
It's put that in quotation marks.
It's basically a regular game is basically two periods.
Two periods. And that's not a game. And then you make a hockey game.
You make the semifinals and you go there and your team plays
one.
And you play like one 15-minute period. And everyone exits and you're like, wow, this is a close game. You're down by a goal. Maybe we can come back. Oh, no, you lost.
Yeah,
the game is over.
One 30-minute period, I think, was the last one, by the way. It used to be like it was like two 20-minute periods. And then when you got to the semis, it was 130 or 40, you know, something like that. But what in the heck are you doing inviting people to a hockey tournament and then playing whatever version of box hockey that is? I was not.
Well, this
at all
is
impressed.
How they get a tournament with 100 teams in it.
I guess so. I guess
this
so.
Is part of how they do it.
But you know, but, though, we gotta clarify here too, though. There's different. I mean, you know, you could talk about the Chowder Cup and the 4th of July Cup and all these things. Those for me are different than when you start talking about Silver Sticks, the national championships and in-season tournaments like that. Because if it's not part of my team during the regular season, you got to just expect I'm going there to have fun, because I'd like your guys's to weigh in on this, but I do not know one person who's ever gone to a Chowder Cup or any other off-season type of exposure tournament and got scouted. Every person that I know that's ever been scouted was scouted mid-season.
I don't think the question is about scouting, at least not from the email. It was just about competition and finding the best competition for playing ice hockey. And I believe if you go to a place where you're not actually playing ice hockey, that you should maybe take that off the list. So any of the Boston tournaments in the summer,
Chowder,
I think you have to take that away.
Look, the organization that does the Chowder Cup, a lot of the teams that go there are teams where the players are all signed to advising companies. And the advising companies put the teams together. So there's something going on there. I would agree that if you don't know any better and people say to you, well, you got to be part of that because that's a scouting opportunity. I'm not going to say nobody ever got scouted. I do know I've sat and watched and overheard conversations where teams are looking for players and they do go to some of these games and they are looking for people, what type of teams they are and what exactly that scouting is. It's not, you know, it's not the NHL teams. It's not the USHL. Those organizations, you know, maybe colleges, they're not there, I don't think.
No, they have their roster set.
I just don't think that they're expecting to find something that they didn't know. I wouldn't go so far to say as they've never had any scouts at these things. I think the scouts are there, but you know, there's a lot of teams. There's a bunch, you know, when you go and you look at some of those things, you'll see five or six teams with the same name. And you go, what's going on there?
You bring up a good point, though. The teams, I think for the most part, the teams that matter, the serious teams out there already know your kid. They don't have to go to some summer event to get noticed. And I'll give you a quick example of that, which kind of shocked me, was back when the boys were like bantam age. And we were having all that difficulty with the select camps, like Randy said, and we missed the select camp, not by our own doing. And now supposedly we're ineligible for it and stuff. I actually met a guy who was part of the national development program. And we read an event. And anyway, long story short, he gave me this number and said, hey, you ever have any questions or whatever, you know, by all means, give me a call. And so I called them one day And, you know, and much to my shock, he knew exactly who my sons were, where they played, you know, where they're at today, you know, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. And so when they tell you, like, these certain programs are watching everybody, they're watching everybody. I mean, because I never felt like, you know, I always felt like, especially at that age, like, who would know my kid and why would they know my kid? But there are, you know, when your kids are playing Bantam, from the moment I think they turn Bantam checking, and if, especially if you're playing AAA, they're watching, you know, and I would venture to say that's probably the top D1 universities in all of them. You know, they're not going to up to Calgary for the spring fling to find players, because they already know and are tracking players from the regular season based, like I said, on the teams that you're playing for.
Okay,
you know, I think you got on that list because your sons were playing on like a top four team in the country at that time. Were they scouted? Absolutely. I got to say, there's an awful lot of people whose kids don't get scouted and can't and don't have your experience, and their kids didn't go to a big name school like Shattuck, and you know, they get to be a certain age and they're looking to have somebody maybe recognize them. And that's but I also think I know just having had my kid on a team that was a scouted team and did well, and that they definitely have a list, and it's a short list of the kids that they're actually interested in looking at. I'm not going to say that a scout never went and saw some kid that wasn't on somebody's radar and saw something that other people maybe hadn't seen. I'm sure that happens, but for the most part, yeah. I mean, there's lists of kids, and these kids start getting looked at a lot more. And I don't think that the, you know, scouts have the bandwidth to go in and just routinely be looking for a diamond in the rough.
Lance, let me get back to the regular season though. What tournaments? Because like this was really the question. What tournaments have you been to that you thought were very worthwhile? Not necessarily from a scouting position, but just you thought that there was good teams that were engaged in the tournament. They were all good competition, all of that stuff, and you found it to be a worthwhile actual tournament presentation.
And you're saying the regular season, correct?
Yeah, regular season. Well, yeah, I think I got off on the wrong foot because I was mad at Boston, and I shouldn't have brought that to I shouldn't bring that to the podcast. I should just bring.
I think you're doing a public service for people to know if you're going to spend all that money.
Ugh.
Manage your expectations, because it's not going to be. It's not going to be a lot of ice time.
Yeah, lower your expectations was the theme song for this podcast for the first 2 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. Where did you get your most shining, happy tournament memories from?
Let's see. Well, first I do want to say, we've done our fair share of these summer, you know, spring flings and all that stuff, and love them. You know, I mean, a lot of these tournaments, I personally go with the attitude of it's going to be 50% vacation and see wherever we're going to, and 50% hockey. But I have to admit, I've never been part of a tournament where you didn't play a full, at least 15 minute, three periods. You know, I've never heard of that before until you mentioned it, which seems kind of unusual to me. But the two tournaments that come to my mind, and don't ask me how you become part of it or how you get in, because I don't know. These were just tournaments we did. One was the Silver Sticks. And we got to go to, I forgot the name of the city, right outside of Detroit for the Silver Stick Finals. And that was an incredible tournament. I mean, some of the best hockey I've ever seen was at that tournament. And then the other one, which was at the top, is, and I think, Randy, I think you guys kind of participated this last year in it, is that Notre Dame University puts on a tournament. And they always get the highest quality. And I think the tournament we did was kind of made up of two groups. So they had a Canadian division and a U.S. division. And you got to play several teams on the Canadian side. And then you got to play top teams in the U.S. side. And then they, and then they had like a little playoff and a championship game. So those are the two that pop into my mind.
Coach Ralston?
So let's start young. The premier tournament that everybody knows about within the hockey world, because especially if your kid ends up playing in this tournament, is the Brick tournament that does the that plays up in Edmonton in a mall. And Brick's famous for a couple of things. It's very difficult to get on a Brick team. This is a squirt level tournament, and there's no longer squirt national championships in the US or whatever. So this is kind of, you know, if your kid is way ahead of the game at a young age, you're looking at potentially getting your kid on a Brick team, and it's, it's tough to get on. And also, the Brick tournament's now very famous for every year. Looking back, going back a whole bunch of years, they've been able to say, hey, five or six kids that played in this tournament are in the NHL. So, of course, I don't know what ultimately.
I've seen the YouTube where you're like watching this thing. It's like, you know, like you get the little kids and they're little kids and they've got the names that, you know, it's so cute because you're watching on YouTube and this kid was 10 years old when he was playing in the Brick, but his name is now on a jersey and he's got a C beside it. And it's just kind of cool to have that experience. I remember.
Yeah. They've got those games now, especially the Toronto team.
Yeah.
Toronto teams are known for this. And I will say, I saw a video the other day of some kids playing and one of the more recent ones. And it was really kind of scary because there was a kid there that was doing things that you just don't see a 10-year-old do.
Are you talking about like smoking and driving a car or what?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is he came in and he had a pipe.
and he voted for Trudeau immediately. Yeah. Yeah. It
reminded me of the evolution of hockey and how hockey skill. I think this is another topic. I have some, I believe I understand why this is occurring, but I don't want to talk about it today. We'll save that for another day. But it was just incredible. This kid was playing. The look of him and the moves he made in this particular thing. And this was two of the better teams, I think, maybe, had gotten down towards the semifinals or whatever. And this one kid just went in and dangled a couple of kids, and just the way he moved and the eventual scoring shot that he took, it just didn't look like a lot of 9 and 10 year olds. But anyway, so you got the Brick, and then at the Pee Wee level, you have the Quebec tournament. Am I right about, Lance?
Yeah,
your son's played this.
I can't remember the name of it. No, yeah. My son never played.
It's the Quebec International Pee Wee Tournament, something along those lines. I really feel like, because my son did not play in either of these tournaments, you should talk about the Quebec tournament because everybody says how great that is, and there's a couple of different. Now the Brick is just the best of the best at 10U. It used to be that California had a team. Now it's the Western team. Like they now opened it up. So your kid's got to be one of the best players in like three, four states in a region a lot of times, depending on where you're living.
That's not hard, is it, Raleigh?
It's interesting to see, to kind of track this. And, we know a couple of kids that played on that team. And also we have some friends whose kids are younger that have played in the Brick team. And it's a great thing if you can do it, I guess. And, it doesn't mean your kid's going to play in the NHL and, doesn't mean that they're not. I guess that's what it proves. But, Now the Quebec tournament, everybody raves about things like the fact that it's an international tournament. There's not a lot of tournaments where, like the BRIC and the Quebec tournament, where U.S. and Canadian teams play each other. I think the Silver Sticks has, depending on what division you're in, you can play some Canadian teams. Is that right?
Well, my sons didn't do either of them, so I'm not.
Okay, I thought you guys played in a Silver Sticks one time. Your guys did not play in the Quebec one. I would have thought you did.
I wish I knew then. Well, see, a team.
Well, actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, you were still playing at the Bears then. So
yeah, the Kings wanted us to move over and play for them, and I just wasn't ready to make a move and make the drive. But one of the things that they threw in there was that if you play for this team, you will go to Quebec.
Yeah, the Kings. The Kings have been participants in that for a lot of years, and they have a AAA division, but they also have a AA division. So, and I think they have like three different divisions that you can get in. We do know a bunch of kids that went, and people have told me that it's a great tradition. You actually billet with people. Your kids billet while they're there. There's these traditions like. That they used to have back in the old days of hockey, where the teams will have pins and they'll trade pins with each other, and you come back and right. You got, you know,
boy, that's old days.
Five or six pins from different clubs that you played against, and everybody tells me it's a great tournament to do. I'm sure it costs a fortune to do it, but so anyway, those two.
That's are kind two of baseline. The fortune the thing is a baseline nowadays,
right?
I really enjoy, I will say tournaments in Blaine, Minnesota, even though I'm not a big proponent of the Schwann Super Center or whatever it's called now, they all run really well. You know, they're never late. You know, they're like, those are
all run by One Hockey.
Well, then got to give them the credit because we've been to like 700 tournaments in Blaine. And even though I'm not excited to go there, they do run pretty well. Chicago is my favorite place to go for tournaments personally. I find that all of the competition that we've experienced in Chicago has been pretty darn good. You know, it's a good collecting place for, you know, because the Michigan teams come over, you know, they're close enough to Minnesota. They get a lot of good. And yet you don't have to necessarily feel like you're going to kind of a hockey town. Chicago's a town, you know what I mean?
Right.
When I go to Minnesota, it feels like everything's about hockey, and that's cool, but you get tired of it eventually. I kind of like going to a destination where hockey's important, but it's not the only thing. For me, that would be Chicago.
Yeah, we liked the One Hockey ones, and that was the club that we played at. It was a big favorite of theirs to go there, and I would agree they're run pretty well. And like to your point, you're going to get some variety because it's never fun. Like we did Silver Sticks and a bunch of years, and one of the problems with Silver Sticks for the LA teams in the Tier 2 was that you go there and you're playing the same five of the same. Frickin' teams that you play back in LA.
SoCal, and, yeah.
And so that, because the regional tournament was in Vegas, and it's like, geez, I would just like to play a different team, you know, to go to a tournament away, and you have four games and three of them are three teams that you play all year. It just doesn't feel like that's what you're trying to get out of the tournament One Hockey ones, where you're playing a bunch of teams that you haven't played and you're like, thank God we're playing somebody else.
We have the same experience when we go to Colorado. We went to Colorado and we played the Heat and the Kings and then a high school team from California. And that is what we played. Those were the first three games we played in Colorado. And right. I was like, if I'm going to play the Heat and the Kings, I would much rather do that nearby. You know, I'm like Colorado. It just seems like the tournaments that we've gone to there have been very disappointing. Although the Broadmoor is beautiful. Trademark hashtag go Broadmoor.
Yeah, I the other tournaments, to your point, the other organization that seems to do a good job in terms of getting a lot of competition from all around is the CCM tournament series. They have one in Chicago, one in Detroit. The one in Chicago is so big that the entire like surrounding region of
Coach, can you start that out? Can you start that out one more time? Just that beginning of the sentence one more time.
What did I say? The one in Chicago is so big.
How big is it?
It's so big that that the train that comes from the airport you have to wait sometimes a couple of different trains to get on the shuttle, and geez, trying to get a rental car is quite a treat as well.
I waited 3 hours for a rental car at in one location. I don't think it was Chicago, but I did. I remember waiting 3 hours for a rental car. I nearly was in tears. That's how bad it felt.
That happened to us in Colorado.
It's never happened before in my life. And all of a sudden I got to this rental car and the thing was around the line was out the door and I was like, oh, I hope this isn't mine. It was mine. So
yeah. We had the same thing happen to us in Colorado.
That's ugly.
So some of these tournaments are ginormous. That CCM Chicago one, there's like a bunch of different divisions and there's like 100 teams. It's incredible. But in general, it's a series. And so you can do it in a bunch of different places and you get that variety. So, all the games are full, three periods, standard running time.
I had never known that ever didn't happen, Coach, until I went to Boston. You know, you shouldn't have to say all the games are hockey games, when you say you're at a tournament. Because that's right. That's what I expect. I never expected it not to be a hockey game.
Well, it's just really odd too when you played four, and one year we end up playing an extra game, five games, and then you win them all, and you're like, this is fantastic. This team's playing great, and then you go to the semifinals, and you have a half a game for the semifinals, and you go, what is going on here? Like, this doesn't make any sense to me how this is being run.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why would you play a half of one period to settle who's going to then advance to the next round? It's just weird. But yeah. I got you. And so there we've put out a bunch. You mentioned the Grizz Cup too. Grizz Cup is in Utah. The only thing I will say, it's a beautiful state. And if you go there in the winter, Salt Lake City, incredible city, Park City. You can drive up there. Just the ambiance and the locale is great. Colorado too. A lot of really beautiful places to visit there. But as far as the tournament itself, it's okay. We played in a couple times, but being in Utah. And Salt Lake City area is really nice. So
I want to do this fireball and then we'll finish this episode. But worst tournament you ever went to, Lance, go.
Wow, man, you got to put me on the spot here, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing it right here.
Worst tournament. Well, I would probably say, even though we won it, I would say the one we did out at PHS. Tournament.
Yes, it was like not the brick. It was called like it was awful.
What was it Independence Day tournament?
Yes, it was. And this was the tournament where they put three people on the roster and they wouldn't tell us who they were. They obviously were too old to be playing, and they have unknown player one, unknown player two, and unknown player three were on the roster of this other team. That was fantastic. Raleigh, worst tournament experience you've ever had?
I mean, it's hard for me to up the one we did in Riverside where there were three teams, we beat both teams by at least 10 goals in the two games. So that we could then play the final, went right to the final because we only got three teams. There's no reason to to continue to belabor the problem. And yeah, I think we got a bye so we could play, you know, the winner of the two teams that we'd already beaten by over 10 goals each. And that was not a good use of our time, I don't think. It was close. Actually, I want to say an honorable mention has to go out to some of the Kings tournaments.
Dishonorable mention, I believe.
Yeah, it has to go out to some of the Kings tournaments who, you know, I think they, you know, they can be prestigious tournaments, but the, a lot of people, you know, it's like the travel, it's like the tour of L.A., you play your first game in one rink and then you have another game 3 hours later and it's another rink about 40 miles away. And you're just like, what is going on? Why am I driving to four different rinks in this tournament? You know, each one.
Yeah, which one
is,
was that?
That was various of the Kings tournaments, the Carmen Stars and whatnot, depending on what age group your kid was in.
Oh, and you remember when Riverside used to send you down to like Oceanside
Carlsbad.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it would like send you to Carlsbad on a 3-day weekend in the middle of the Sunday traffic. It'll say, yeah, you just guys go down to Carlsbad. I remember we forfeited a game there.
Yeah, it's
it was that bad. It was that bad. Yeah, it's like it's 70 miles away.
At least have, you know, a couple rinks that are somewhat in the vicinity, but then, you know, this also goes to the absolute crisis of rink space in California. It's just real bad. SoCal, especially, more rinks have shut down than opened up in the years that we've been playing. And a lot of these rinks are 1-2 sheets and they do a big tournament and there's just nobody that can really support it because there's not enough ice sheets. There's, you know, you go back east and you find plenty of facilities that have two rinks minimum, 2, 3, 4 sheets. And you can do a big tournament like this with a couple different age groups, but you can't do it down there in LA. Anyway, that's my conclusion.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I really did need to have both sides of that bracketed in, the good tournaments and the bad tournaments. And tune in next time for the
ugly tournaments. Well, hang on. I hope you're not going to cut us off because
I was cutting us off.
I wanted to hear what you and Lance were going to say were the worst tournaments.
Well, Lance already did his. He said,
yeah, I did mine.
Yeah.
Which was Lance's?
Wow, Coach, you're getting old.
I know. It was
the one in Anaheim where they were subbing in unknown players in
KHS.
All right. KHS. Well, you guys were talking about that. That, you know, for those that were not, that's like a shared experience for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So you had shorthand on that. You were sort of like, but to be more explicit about it, what do you recall the name of it or who ran the tournament? Because you didn't kind of throw that out there.
Now, what was the name of the team that played out of there? They're not even there anymore.
No,
was
they
it
were
like the Red Wings,
the Ice Dogs. They were the Wildcats.
Oh, this was the KHS.
The Wildcats. It was the Wildcats ran.
Right.
The
well, the Wildcats are the Rain now. So we're talking about the same organization. The
people.
It was a Wildcats tournament that we went to that had the three teams.
Do you remember LA like hockey? Time. Does anybody remember LA hockey? LA hockey. Da, 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 da. You remember that when you were like really?
Yeah, I think they all merged in with the Kings, right?
Kings, they did. They did. I was just having a flashback when we're talking about old California teams.
Yeah. So, okay. So we, two of us had not great things to say about the former Wildcat, now Rain run tournaments.
Yeah, no, it's not. They're not very good, but I got to tell you, any hockey is good hockey, but that hockey isn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know how that fits. If in mathematics, I think Oppenheimer would have a hard time with that equation.
You know, my feeling about it was like, it honestly, just if you're going, I get that you have to try and entice teams to come to these tournaments, but gee whiz, if you can only get three teams, just let them know we couldn't do it. Cancel it, send them back their $1,000. Let's just, you know, people could have done something else at that weekend. Would have been better.
Anyway. Right.
Okay, guys. Well, it's lovely having everyone listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast, but I'm sorry to say we're going to have to go. Thank you all for listening. Lance, Raleigh, thanks for helping on all of the best and worst of tournaments. And I hope whatever tournament you have next is one of the best ones and not the worst. For all of us at the Youth Hockey Podcast, thanks for listening. I'll just have to cut this off. It isn't turn. Oh, there we go.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.